Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to L&B, Passage to Empowerment. We have a very special show for you tonight. So first of all, I'm going to introduce your hosts. I am Nina, the N in L&B, and we have Lydia.
Hi, guys.
And Brenda.
Hi.
Tonight's topic is illuminating the man cave with sensitivity. Now, we're going to find out what that's all about. But first, I'm going to just tell you our guests are Gaetano, David, and Mark. Brenda, do you want to give us a little more information on these three fine gentlemen?
Okay, well, they're three of the most important men in my life at this moment in time, my two brothers and my best friend, or sweetie, however, you know. And so I just, what there is to say about them, they're scholars, they're they've been out in the world for a while, so they know a few things, and they all have very different perspectives about a lot of things in life, so hopefully we can get enough of a cross-section to have an idea of what men think about the whole man cave thing, which, okay, it's not a consensus for them, so we will try to find out what you all think about that word, and so that's it. Well, I don't know what other way to introduce yourselves. Gentlemen, when you speak, if you'd like to say something about yourself, that's up to you. I'll just call you out one by one, just, you know, give like a sentence or two about who you are or whatever you'd like to say about yourself. So I'll start with Gaetano.
I have been on this earth for a few years. I'm in my 70s right now. So I've had quite a few different experiences during the course of my life, and I've had a few career changes, actually, and I find the subject of empowerment an interesting one, and one that I will certainly be glad to share my perspective on as the show goes on.
Okay. And
thank you.
Uh-huh. And Mark?
My name is Mark, and I'm an actor in Hollywood, California. I think my opinion, along with everybody else's, will become clear as the show goes on.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And David.
My name is David. I consider myself a community person. In terms of man's power, as my other two brother spirits have said, as the show goes on, I'll give a word or two. I would like to say that I didn't start off this way. I was an idiot because that's what society in which we were raised within, that was the image that I saw a lot of the men displaying before me. So I knew I was on my way to maybe possibly age 25, be married with two mistresses on the side because that's what I saw taking place around me.
But David, could you just give us just like a sentence or two about who you are, and then we'll get into the show. We're just trying to get our introductions done.
No, that was my introduction. I was trying to get to it.
Okay,
anyway,
okay.
I'm David. I'm David.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. So Okay, so then Lydia and Nina, did you want to, you know, ask certain questions, or did you want to, how is it that you wanted to just go ahead with this, or just let each guy go ahead and tell us what little they want to tell us?
Well, I think we can probably just let the guys go ahead. Lydia, do you have any specific questions?
Let's cover the man cave really quickly. Maybe we could do that. That's a good one, because that basically the topic of the show is illuminating the man cave. So let's. I'm going to go ahead and put little timers on here. It's sort of a joke. But can you give us an idea of what you think the man cave is? Let's start with David. Or if what your understanding of it is, or any thoughts, real, you know, like.
Okay, finishing my introduction, and I think that will take care of it for me, is that heaven decided that I needed to be surrounded by male eldership. And when male eldership showed up in my life, around roughly about 28, 20, then I began to see life from a totally different standpoint of view. And part of that for me was that once I reached age 35, a great measure of maturity needed to start taking place within my life in terms of having to be in balance of who I was. And once that started taking place, life for me became heavily interesting. So that's it for me, my comments.
Okay.
And
Mark,
what does the
Mark
man cave mean to you, though?
Pardon?
I'm just wondering what the man cave meant to David.
That was it. Man's cave for me, I see it as manpower, my male's power.
Okay.
Because when eldership showed up within my life, I understood that that power, a man's power for me, and hopefully others, was a balance. In terms of me being balanced with maturity.
So that's sort of like an intrinsic thing for you. It's not a specific place.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Mark,
thank you.
Mark, in terms of
what do you think, or what did you think the man cave was?
Well, this being a radio show, I mean. There's a lot of different things, but the man cave, you know, listen, if I'm 22 years old and I'm out at a bar and I'm strolling for girls, as it were, the man cave has a different connotation. But as you said, this particular man cave you're talking about in terms of illuminating his power, or illuminating how a man has an opportunity to communicate, enjoy, and talk about his power. So as far as that goes, illuminating the man cave to me is what gives you the strength, or how do you find the strength to empower yourselves in a relationship?
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Gaetano? Thank you, Mark.
To me, it has a couple of meanings. The man cave, as I was growing up, I found that in my late teens, early 20s, a certain bonding going on with brothers of my own age, and certain similarity of experiences, and that kind of bond us together as men, and it was kind of like a private club, so to speak. But another aspect to me of the man cave is, it's a place where I go to regroup, think, get time to myself, and to get perspective on what's going on in life by myself. And that's my interpretation of a physical man cave, but of also some of the things that go on in that physical location.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. This is Lydia, and I want to say that for me, what I was thinking of was the vulnerable part is kind of almost like a cave, because you might explore it yourself, but you might not want others to see that part of you.
That which is what I find in most men. Yeah, and most men kind of hide the sensitive side in them, and that's kind of what we were looking at. How do we empower you as men to show the sensitive side of you?
I think, this is Gaetano, I think that comes not so much from somebody else. I think that comes from within ourselves.
Okay.
I think as we mature and reflect and are honest with ourselves, and we see situations in which people find themselves, situations which perhaps we ourselves have been in, there's an element of compassion that certainly is able to come forth, and that is can be construed, obviously, as the, quote, sensitive side, unquote, of a man. Men tend to show that somewhat differently, and they do try to cloak it to a certain extent, and that's really programming from our culture as
yeah.
to what people kind of expect and think what we are, what we're supposed to be, and what that transmits itself to us. But I also think as we mature, we are able to break loose from that cultural stereotype and fundamentally be ourselves and express ourselves in ways which we deem to be appropriate on sensitivity, on empowerment, and on a range of other issues. And I think it's a matter, frankly, of self-confidence. And that's something I think you generate over a period of years by, one, knowing who you are, knowing what you are, and then being comfortable with both of those things. And I think that generates confidence, that generates empowerment.
You're right, it does.
Those
very
are
profound.
All sex.
Thank you.
For any sex.
Yeah.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, just to let you know that if you would like to join in the show, it's a little crowded, but you're still able to join in, and we'll sort of manage the best we can. The number is 646-727-2914. If you have any questions for the three gentlemen here, we're going to bring another person in. I believe somebody directed them to call in. And
Lannis did.
Okay, and then we'll see. We still want to get back to David and Mark and Gaetano for some of the things they may have possibly prepared or wanted to share when they came on this show. But real quickly here, let's bring on, I believe his name is Ralph. Hello, you're on LNB, Passage to Empowerment, and your name is? Hello? Okay.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello.
Is this Ralph?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. Hi, Ralph. Yeah, mm-hmm. So we were alerted that you might be joining us, and we were just now talking about the personal empowerment of men and, you know, what the man cave meant to the different people on the panel. And would you like to weigh in on that real quickly about, well, first of all, can you just kind of give us a little bit idea of who you are or whatever you'd like to say, like maybe a one or two sentence?
Okay, I'm an African-American male, retired, residing in the vicinity of Indianapolis, Indiana.
Okay. Thank you for joining us.
You're
and
my
when
mom.
You think, when you hear the word man cave, does it bring up a certain thought, or what's your idea of what a man cave is in a couple of sentences?
Well, a man cave is, to me is a refuge of sorts whereby men can get together and talk about sports, watch sports, enjoy common music. I've been listening to the previous speakers, and it seems to be a development of some kind, a pathway to maturity is what I'm hearing, but I'm thinking of a man cave as a physical being, physical place.
It certainly can be. Ralph, this is Lydia, and I think it certainly can be. However, we're talking more, we can talk about that, which I think is needed. I think a refuge for men is needed, a place to go to be men. But I want to ask you a quick question, and that is, in your place, in your man cave, whether you have one or not, do you see any men talking about their true feelings? Or is it all sports and music?
Pretty much it's sports, music, entertainment. The gentleman that freaking my man cave, we don't get into personal and interpersonal relationship kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just it may be a pool room. It may be around a ping pong table. It may be around a TV set. But the idea is to get away from all of those issues that come along with being male.
Mm-hmm. I understand. Thank you.
I don't, but because you're saying that the man cave is for you to get away from the issues of being a male?
Well, I don't necessarily need to have a man cave to do that. I can get with my friends at any time and do that. But when you come to my man cave, it's a place to get away, to talk, men talk. I mean, sometimes the language might be rude and crude. You know, it may not be appropriate for a woman. It's almost like a barbershop. You know, that's a man cave. That's a man cave in a sense of speaking, because guys are talking about current events, politics, you know, sports. My man cave is almost an extension of a barbershop. I have a lot of sports memorabilia. I'm a big University of Louisville fan. In my man cave, you'll find a lot of sports memorabilia. We don't really sit down and talk about issues about interpersonal relationships or male development. We may do that, but we don't gather at a place to do that.
Okay.
I'm in a man cave by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We have friends in that man cave.
Okay, well, thank you for that, Ralph. Now, the three gentlemen on the main panel, we're going to talk about your sort of your personal empowerment. I know that, David, you had prepared some things. Is there something that you wanted to share with us about retaining, attaining, and your personal power as a man?
Can I? I'd like to say based on what Ralph just said.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
One of the things that, you know, as Ralph talked about the man cave being a barbershop and this and that, you know, it's only in the last, I don't know exactly the thing, but the last, say, 10 years or something, where women have looked for a man to be the male and then be sensitive like the female. And for me, it's like, look, I'm male. I get that. It's not that I can't be sensitive. It's not that I don't see things that other people see. But I think of myself as the male. I don't try to mix the two up. It's not that males can't be sensitive. It's that in this day and age now, women look for the man to be strong and sensitive. And I think that's that kind of empowerment or that kind of thing was going on before. My father had his sensitive side, but mostly he was male. That's just it. And so when we look for things to be more than they're supposed to be, I mean, when you are working on your car, you don't look for oil of Olay to clean your hands. You look for pumice. You look for pumice. When you go out and you look for China dishes, you don't look for clay pots that you could eat off of. You look for China. So I think as we've moved on in this particular era, more people are trying to get people to do both sides of the female and male. And they look for it in, they want the female to be tough and that they want her to be soft. They want the male to be tough and they want him to be soft. So that's my comment on that particular thing, that we are asking a lot of things. An alligator is an alligator. It does what an alligator does. It doesn't take on the thing of a koala bear. So it's just kind of interesting to me that as we talk about, yeah, well, what empowers you and how can we get males to be more sensitive? I think everybody, all males, are sensitive. It's just that they also realize, as my brother said, when you're growing up, you're the male. This is what you do, okay? You're the female. This is what you do. One gets protection, the other protects. That's how we look at things, and it's blurred recently because now we have women who are very strong, very protective, very empowering of their strength, and that's a great thing. I don't see anything wrong with that. I just think it's funny that we look for the male to be sensitive, which is male and female, and we look for the female to be tough, which is female and male. So that's my thoughts on that particular. And I thank you, Ralph, for bringing that up because I have other thoughts about that too. But David, I'm sorry to interrupt you, man.
Can I just say something quickly?
Matter of fact, I defer to a lot of what my brother has said, but since somebody, one of the women was speaking, so I'll pause again and please speak. Hello?
Okay.
Hello?
David, can I just say something really quickly? What?
You sure. Mark, I'm the one to guess, please.
Mark, what I don't think we want the guys to be sensitive per se. I think what we want more than anything is for them to be able to talk about what they're feeling. And I find that there is a lot of men out there that can't talk about what they're actually feeling. And I think that's what we want. Not, you know, I'm in a bad mood, so why are you in a bad mood? I don't want to talk about it. Well, we do want to talk about it. And I think that's what we're trying to get at, not to make you sensitive or anything else, but just to be able to talk.
But if you're looking for a sensitive side of something, then that, listen, you, this is my whole point about this. You want it both ways. You want your cake and your ice cream. But I'm like, listen, you want the man to be the protector, or do you want the man to, I understand in terms of sensitive, a sensitive side, and I'm saying every human being on this planet has that. It's just human nature. We all have sensitive sides. It's just you choose how to deal with that particular thing. Now, if you're talking about communication in terms of a woman wants to talk to you about or communicate something, or a man wants to talk about his feelings, a couple of things come to mind, which is somebody has to be able to understand that the feelings that can come out of a man's mouth aren't necessarily a personal attack to the other person. If you ask somebody for the truth and you ask them to tell you what it is that you feel, then they have to be able to accept that without it causing a backlash, because once the man gets backlash, he's like, well, I'm done trying that.
Exactly. Do not ask them if your butt looks good in clothing. If you feel like your butt looks big in clothing, don't ask. Don't put him on the hot seat on that one. If you want the truth, do not ask the questions that you don't want to hear the truth from. I agree with that 1,000%.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. Yeah, totally. And I think it works both ways.
Yeah.
What, Gaetano?
Well, I just think I'm sorry.
I'm going to just listen, because every time I get asked David speak, somebody is, which I'm comfortable with that. We're not children. It's funny to me. So, my brother, please, you got the cosmic mic. I'm listening.
All right.
Hello?
I think Mark makes a very valid point. And Nina, you put your finger on it. You want us, women, men don't want to talk about it, women do. That is a fundamental difference between men and women. women will share everything with them, with each other, and will talk about all kinds of things going on with their honey, their sweetheart, their family, et cetera, with other women. Men tend very much not to do that. They think that is private. They think that is between them and the people that are concerned and shouldn't spread around. Now, that's just a fundamental difference in how male and female view things. And it's been this way forever. And women have continually, I think, bemoaned the fact that men don't talk, don't share, aren't, and they interpret that as not being sensitive, I think. There is some of that going on. But that's not it at all. I think that it's just that women feel very comfortable sharing things that Brenda will attest to this. She shared things with her friends about us that I've objected to in the past. And I'll say, why did you talk about that? And that was between you and me. But to her, that's just something that women do.
Exactly. Exactly. You can exercise too much vulnerability, and it can be a very dangerous thing if it's with the wrong woman. Now, you just mentioned that sometimes you may confide any significant other, and then we're able to turn around and tell one of their girlfriends. That's very different. That's confiding in someone and having what you said in confidence exposed to someone else.
Right. Now, I have to say, this is Lydia again, and that my husband, I so resonate with this because my husband has actually asked me to not tell my girlfriends everything, and I have respected what he wants. So I don't go into great detail. You know, I might mention something, but I'm not gonna go into huge detail because I feel that my husband is very respectful of me, and I need to be respectful of him.
Exactly, Lydia, and the same thing goes on our end, too. Jim and I have things that we do not discuss with other people. They are kept between the two of us because that is sacred. We are a couple, and that part is sacred. Mm-hmm. But there's other things that, they're open.
That goes with what I'm saying. With the wrong woman, vulnerable can be in a world of trouble if that woman is not a confidant.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm the wrong woman, and I take out national billboards about Gaetano's life.
Oh, cut it out.
David was going to say something. So, David, what is it you were going to say? You got the floor. Take it.
I forgot what I was originally asking.
Okay, well, then we'll move on. Jump in, I guess, brother, when you're ready to jump in.
But I'm ready to jump in.
Go then.
I'm apparently on the wrong show, and that's not a negative statement coming from me. My understanding from everything I heard before the show began, weeks before, was that we would discuss a man's power. And what I was going to bring to the table was, in terms of my own personal journey, was things within the community that led me from being an idiot to being an empowered male. And I really don't know how to communicate that at the point in terms of saying that what I was believing the show was going to be about, and it is as cool as it is, was I was going to be able to speak on how children need us men and our empowered men to be on post so that when they need an answer and they come to us, we can give them a sound response, not to tell them how to live their life or they better do this or not do that, but to give them some options, some ideas, some perceptions to look at so that they can empower themselves by having, for lack of a better term, correct information, so that when they go forth, they'll do less stumbling in their own right as they make their way. One of the community elders, we officially called him the paper man in Seattle, he stated that a lot of his generation, when he was 55 back in 1976, he said wouldn't talk to us young adults, especially as males, because he said they were bitter in terms of their own life, so that they was really hoping to, that we young men will fall into a bigger hole than they did. So my orientation is, when I look back in terms of male empowerment in my own life in the larger community, is what things that, that I learned or that was put in place, the seeds that were set by elder men who had touched my life, so that now that I'm an elder in terms to many at age 57, I can give them a sound response and an answer, and they can go forth and become empowered, or as opposed to me being, as what did Chris Rock say, don't be that 50-year-old guy at a club of young 21 and 25-year-olds trying to look hip. I'm a 57-year-old, I'm youthful, and when somebody asks me a question, I can give them at least a decent response, but they still initially have to choose to act upon that information or not. So anyway, that's what I'm going to say at the moment.
Well, I would like to add this about the title of the show. Basically, this is a three-part series about personal empowerment. We led it mostly for the women last week. This week is for men. And so it's sort of a rhetorical statement, illuminating the man cave, you know, with sensitivity. I believe, and this is my take on it, and probably Lydia and Nina, theirs is a little bit different. So sorry if you felt slightly misled, but for me, it's just man cave is just sort of like how a man, you know, needs to either rejuvenate or refresh their power. It's probably no different than women getting together in their groups when they just sort of need to get away from the rest of their world. I don't tend to look in terms of man and female and all that kind of junk. To me, it's like I'm who I am. I'm strong. You know, there are times that I cry. I know men that cry. So what? I don't think it diminishes or makes them more of whatever. I've listened to all that. Well, I need to connect with my male side or I need to connect with my female side. Some people need that. Personally, I'm just me. So I'm not making those kind of weird gender type issue judgments myself. But if other people live under that, that's just who they are. But this was mostly so that women could sort of understand this, men talking about their power, how they retain it, you know, and how they help guide or pass it along. And that's my understanding of the show. So if
that's
that will help everybody sort of, this isn't about the man cave. It's not about how to decorate it. It's not about how to reposition it or to make a statement that this is what it is and it can't be anything further. Okay? Does that help everybody?
That's fine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it does. But, you know, Brenda, here's the thing. Your individualism stands or does you proud. It really does. But if you think about, I mean, once you move from generalities to specifics, then you start changing the game. Because as a general rule, most men and women think about it in terms of male and female. And in terms of the sensitive side, David, I wanted to tell you real quick that what you talked about in terms of an elder imparting information onto a child or somebody younger than them, that is and does and always will be the sensitive side of men. It always is. Helping somebody else out is great. Yeah. With that being said, and let me go back to what Brenda's talking about, in terms of how I stay focused or how I stay centered or grounded in terms of my sensitivity is that I have two best friends. I have four total best friends in the world. Two of them are male and two of them are female. The female best friends that I have, I can tell anything to. And the males, too. But I talk to them about everything. And if you have an opportunity to be able to communicate, because communication seems to be a very big crux in terms of sensitivity, being able to talk to somebody, being able to talk to a woman. And as I said before, you want the ability to be able to say, listen, I got a lot of things in my head, and I want to just spill them out for you. And everything kind of becomes, it's not like you're trying to test them, but you want to be able to tell somebody everything that's going on. And I think it's funny. It's very interesting that people who are in relationships strong relationship, they tend to share more with their friends or their best friends than they do to the people they're in a strong relationship with. And I think as you find the opportunity to be able to decide, empower yourself, as it were, to share, despite the consequences, you learn things about each other. And that allows both of you to grow, because drama is in everybody's life. You know, that's just the way it goes. So those are some of my thoughts about that. I think the sensitive side is there. Like I said, we're all human. We have
it.
Sometimes it's not communicated to the woman because of the way that she asks or the way it's perceived that she asks. And some people have said that the guy might be scared. He might be. But I know that when we want to talk about things with a woman, whether that be your mate or your best friend or something, we do it. We get that out. We get that sensitivity or that side of us out so that it doesn't have to manifest itself in an ugly way in some other shape or form.
Brilliantly said.
Thank you, Mark.
I think that's
brilliantly said.
I tell a Gaetano everything, and he can tell you. Once he told me he sort of doesn't always want to hear everything, but I truly believe, like, if you can't talk to the most of your significant or your best friend, if you can't tell them everything, even the things they don't want to hear, then it sort of cuts off your ability to communicate fully.
I agree.
So.
Yeah, I do too. And, you know, David, I wanted to say that I think that your role as elders is absolutely true. I think that boys, especially boys, and girls, well, I don't know. I hate to say that. Okay. They both need both male and female to guide them, to talk with them, to understand them, and be a willing ear as well as a guiding force. And I think that a lot of children now don't have maybe one parent or the other, and I think that it's now more important than ever to help. But I do feel that our society has contributed to the bottling up of the male species.
Oh, yeah.
How do you flip that? Yeah.
I could talk another 3 hours on that piece. eradicate the male strong men. And, you know, the chaos and the anarchy and the madness is out there. And then what they see on TV is like, you have a conflict, deal with it John Wayne style. You know, go for it. Go for your guns and you go for your guns.
Right.
Well, to be perfectly honest, and probably that's why I'm sort of strange in my independence, is I was closer to my dad. I talked to my mom a lot, and I adore her, but I was closer to my dad. I was so close to my dad that my dad and I talked about a lot of things that I guess a lot of people would think are inappropriate. And the advice or the guidance that my dad gave me when I was starting to get sexually active, he said, don't sleep with anybody you don't want to be associated with for the rest of your life. And I'm like, Dad, what? And he said, just like me. He said, you know, my ex-wife, I have children with her. For the rest of my life, I'm going to be connected to her because of my children.
Mm-hmm.
He said, so think about that before you sleep with a guy. And if you don't think that when I was sort of like dealing with different men, and then it'd be like, yeah, I don't think so. He said, because you could get pregnant. And I know that conversations that I've had with my dad about sexual things, about both of our histories, there's a lot of both men and women who would just be horrified. But I feel that I was a really blessed kid because my dad loved me and trusted me enough to tell me the things he told me. And there's a learning that takes place with that. So I'm not
very
his little
too,
boy.
Rhythm.
I'm his youngest girl. But So, you know, what you pass on and what you guide, maybe it's going to be a male friend. Maybe that's why I just have different gender issues about it, and whether people agree with me or not. I think you can, it's important to understand where men come from, whether you're a woman or a man, because it can affect your life. And it, and this kind of conversation may help some women not feel so dejected if a guy just doesn't feel like talking. Gaetano tells me that all the time. I don't always, you know, acquiesce. But he, you know, he's real honest about when he doesn't feel like talking.
Yeah, here's the thing that I think is very key, and you said it, Brenda. You like, I talk to my father that way. And my whole point in terms of sensitivity being about communication is, why don't males and females have that kind of conversation between each other who are in a relationship? I think it's great to be able to talk to your dad about anything. I get that. But I'm talking about somebody you're in a relationship with. And I'm not saying that you haven't done that. I'm just saying that is the whole point of this conversation, which is empowering the communication or the sensitive side. That conversation needs to happen between people who are in a relationship. It's okay to say, I don't want to talk about that right now. Everybody has that right. But the same conversation that you have with your father, those conversations need to be done with somebody that you think of as your best friend, your lover, your mate, your husband, your wife. Though that is where those conversations need to happen, as opposed
Amen.
To the outside source mm-hmm. of your best friend.
Yeah,
and I think
I think
also it starts with your children, role modeling for your children. Brenda, you know my history with my dad, but really and truly my history with my son is that we talked about everything. And he is a very sensitive human being, and he loves women because he can talk to them, I didn't make him sensitive, but I made it okay that he was sensitive.
Yeah, Mark, I would just say that Brenda does share all those things that you were talking about. She definitely does. I share most of them. And there are times, like Brenda says, I don't feel like going into certain things. And mm-hmm. later on, I may well do that. However, I would suggest that based on our years together, that, yeah, I say more to her than I do to anybody else. I trust her. And intimately, I trust her, and I share things with her I would never share with anybody else. And she knows that, even though she doesn't think I'm as open as I need to be with her. Yeah, right. But you
right.
Know,
what
the fact
woman
is,
does?
I'm more open. Pardon me?
Nothing. It was a joke. It was a joke. I said, what
I
woman does?
Oh, okay. I didn't hear it. But now, and you know, I agree with you on that too. But when you get right down to it, Brenda and I are best friends, and we react that way. We act that way, and we share things that we would never share with anybody else. So, I take your point, Mark. I agree with it.
No,
I think all of us here.
I agree with you. I think that it's first of all, as I said, I'm very proud of the traits that people have in a relationship where it has that kind of communication. But I think all of us know many more relationships that don't have that kind of openness.
Mm-hmm.
They're more closed off. They're more set about this. I mean, believe me, I'm very proud of my sister's accomplishment and her characteristics, and I'm proud because this is the first time I've heard that from you, Gaetano. Those are all great things, but I think that is more of a minority case than it is a majority case, because if it was a majority case, we wouldn't even be having this conversation.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%.
And I think the thing to learn for anybody listening is the more open you are with your best friend is, or whoever, your paramour, your significant other, whoever, however you want to assign them, the more open you are with them, the more you're going to get out of the relationship. I mean, and if you don't want honesty, then why are you there? You know,
you're right,
honesty
Brenda.
Means that you're going to hear stuff that you don't always want to hear. But it also gives you a better understanding of the situation, and then you can move forward with all the tools needed to make better decisions.
Brenda,
and I
I'm
think,
curious.
Too, that honesty is important in every relationship, and you are going to sometimes hear things you don't want to hear. And even a good argument is good, because at least then you are viewing each of your own ideas and opinions, and that, of course, is always important.
Hey, a good
argument
is like great.
But like the elder said, we must discuss. I don't know about the arguing piece, but we must sit down and discuss in a manner of
no, there's arguing, David, I guarantee you.
I know.
I knew that, Gaetano. In fact, I even mentioned that on my show on Saturday. Yeah, I said, I know Gaetano. I feel his pain trying to argue with Brenda.
He does it, though. He argues with her anyway.
I know. I argue with my husband anyway, but it's hard because they got those minds like lawyers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I was wondering if Ralph is still with us. Are you still with us, Ralph?
No, he checked out.
No,
I guess.
Oh, okay.
You know, I guess that was as far as he wanted to go with our versions of the man cave or whatever.
Okay.
Or
all
he
right.
got busy. Yeah.
Well, I'd love
but,
to
you know,
hear
we thank him for his comments
people.
And his submissions. But, yeah. So
I'd love to hear what some other people have to say about it, because I agree with you when you guys say honesty is a good thing. But, you know, honesty, like trust, is a growth period. It's not something you do when you first meet somebody. You don't tell them, oh, yeah, I went to jail, I had a DUI, I used to, you know, be part of a nudist colony. Right. Honesty, trust is something that you grow forward into. I bet dollars to donuts when Gaetano and Brenda first met, they grew into that kind of relationship they have now. It's not something that starts off that way.
No, you're
true, and that is true, Mark, and also the corollary to that, honesty first, trust, critical. Without trust, you can't have any love, can't be there. Trust is the foundation on which love is built.
Mm.
It is, and, you know, we get hurt, and people close down that, you know, where it's very hard for them to trust. And I think just hearing males talk this way is it's illuminating for women, I think. And, I mean, I have a very sensitive male. He felt like there was going to be too many guys on the show, but he is we talk about everything.
Who was it that mentioned the man cave piece about, what was the phrase, what can we women do to help with your men's sensitivity? Was that how it went?
Yeah, that is exactly.
In terms of what all has been said, I knew that the larger community needed to be touched by all these various angles in terms of male-female relationship, not so much as man and woman, or from girlfriend, but also just in terms of how the opposite sex related to people in the larger world arena. And so in terms of what I do's, what I do's in terms of imparting this information of a dialogue as such, or the information as I write essays, and I impart that, whether it's my segment part, the sex education that still is at the verge of being
completed. The first part is teenage sex education, where I say to the youth, where constructive and wholesome male-female relationships just don't happen by happenstance. And it's everything that's been said tonight. These are the things that I put pen to paper and get it out to those within the community. And the response that I receive from that is not that I'm this brilliant writer, as it is, this is a vehicle that I used as heaven speaks through me to get those individuals to get this information who, as Mark said, who otherwise wouldn't get it, wouldn't receive it, because they're too busy listening to the locker room fans, and then the young women are becoming a bitter old washerwomen because nobody, in terms of, once again, adult eldership, is passing this on, without, especially who does not have a hidden agenda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good point.
Yes.
Yeah.
I see that. So I think that it's up to, I don't know, I think communicating this, making this a public thing where we're talking about this can be very educational. However, you know, we are still, we're all on the other side of our very, very young youth. And I don't know about you guys, but I remember like yesterday that, you know, those hormones come rushing in and, you know, you're not thinking a whole lot about communicating verbally. You know, you are definitely, you know, almost being ruled by them, but I think kids need to know that this is what's going to happen. I'm not a big abstinence person. I mean, I think what Brenda's dad said is absolutely amazing, and I wish somebody would have told me that. But, you know, I think that being real with kids, you know, not saying, oh, well, don't do it, you know, that's the best thing. Well, you know, it can be a great thing for some kids, but some kids, it's not going to happen. They're curious. They got the hormones, and they're ready, you know.
I agree and disagree.
Mm-hmm.
There are those who, for whatever reason, have not, won't, you're right. Let's be honest. There's millions of, I'm going to do like Dr. Prukin said, there's going to be millions and millions and millions that's not going to make it because for whatever reason, they're not going to be privy to whatever said information. All I'm stating is a person who happens to be me, like me, regardless of ethnicity and gender, there are those of us who are out there who've heard that call and are doing something about it. So there are going to be those, how did old folks, our elders used to say, what was that? If two or three are reached out of 100, then we've done our job.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to be the ones who are going to reach hundreds of others of their generation.
Right.
If we don't do something, in other words, something is being done. It may not affect a whole lot of people, but trust me, the ones that it affects, they're going to be the, how do they say, it's going to be, those are going to be the ones that's going to be right on time because they will go forth and share. It's like somebody, how did the elder say, it's like somebody, a group of people learning a new dance. You start here in your city, then it's going to go to L.A., from L.A. it's going to jump over to Ohio. From Ohio it's going to jump over. You get the point. It's going to end up in New York. So it's like a new dance. You just take time. We don't have to find nobody. Heaven, they find us. And when they come find us, the question is, are we going to be ready to deliver what heaven needs us to pass on to them? Or are we going to be sitting there talking about, oh, well, see what happened was, I was looking at your sister's pretty legs under her see-through dress. And I forgot to do what I was supposed to do to impart this to you.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
go
ahead.
A lot of, you know, I tend to disagree with the idea of sharing information a lot because I know that people say sharing is caring, but I have to tell you that from what I've noticed in life, when somebody... I'll use it in terms of drug rehab. If somebody's a drug addict or whatever, they send them to rehab, and the person gets cleaned up because they're out in the middle of Arizona with snakes, and nature can pretty much, you know, wipe you off the planet. And then they take them, they say, you're all done with the program, you're all set, and they go back to the city.
Now, one of the problems is that most drug addicts, when they want to get help, can help themselves or will help themselves do the things they need to get help. So when you share information with somebody who doesn't want to hear it, or you share information with someone before they understand what's going on, it's very difficult, because you want to talk to your kids about drugs as soon as possible. But the thing is, a lot of times you have set the tone for your kids to be curious about drugs because they're at an age where they don't know anything about drugs. You've opened that door for them and made their curiosity a big thing. I agree that you need to share information with somebody who has, and it's a fine line, because there's no time to tell when somebody's maturity level allows them to handle the truth.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. So sharing the truth before somebody is ready to accept the truth makes it very difficult. And where do you find that fine line? Where do you have that conversation that says, you know what, we need to take the opportunity and share with each other at some point? Doesn't have to be now, doesn't have to be today, but we need to find that so that we as a relationship grow. But I know that a lot of people love to impart a lot of information, and there is a lot of information. There's a lot of information on the Internet, a lot of information out there in books. All this stuff is great. The Huxtables, they have a great family. But if your family isn't like the Huxtables, then you sharing the information that the Huxtables use doesn't necessarily help you. So I think it's very, it's a very, not slippery slope, but there's a there's a fine line to where you can share that information with somebody, whether it be children, whether it be an adult, because they have to be open to having that. And we tend to be a society that seems to close off more doors, opening doors. I'm not saying it's the way it is for everything. I'm not saying it's the way it is around the world. But we find ways to create our own little prisons. You know, you can go on the Internet now and do online dating. You don't have to meet anybody out in the real world. You don't have to go and see anybody to do anything. You can text them and email and make your decisions on that, which is, I think, ludicrous, but people do it all the time. But I just wanted to point out that being able to share information with someone, they have to have the ability to be open to take in that information. And once again, as Gaetano says, it's about trust. It's about trust, and out of that trust comes love, or is love, and that allows you to both grow forward. And that is really, it's such a beautiful thing to be able to grow forward with somebody, to know that you can be upset with somebody, and they'll understand and, you know, not use it against you, so that you can have a conversation where the other half is upset and you not use it against them. So, I'm kind of caught between a rock and a hard place in terms of sharing information, because I don't think everyone takes in the information that is there that allows them to grow in their relationship or empower the sensitive conversation or nature that you might have in a conversation.
I will state again, as I stated, we don't have to find nobody with this information. They'll find you.
Well, I think that there's something that happened in the past that doesn't happen as much now, and that's courtship. Courtship is sort of for romantic relationships what new friendships do. They sort of get to know each other. They sort of get to know that there's things they have in common and all that. Most people don't take the time to do courtship. It's an instantaneous relationship, which, you know, online relationships that start that way where everything's instantaneous, it does cause a bit of a problem for people building that trust. So I had a long courtship with Gaetano, and I think that, you know, once we got through a year, then things were different, way different. You know, everything progressed further. I can tell when I'm anywhere, when I've been in college classrooms or whatever, and there were times that I was going to go out with a group of people, and someone in the group would say, well, I don't know, I get a call and see if it's okay with my husband. It's like, if it's okay, is that your father or is that your lover? I mean, what? How come you don't know him well enough to know? Because they never did take the time to get to know them, to build that trust. So I agree, Mark. Sharing has to do with, you know, the different levels. And how do you know? How do you understand that fine line? You get to know someone. And if you're having relationship problems, whoever you are, or you're unsure how someone's going to react, I don't think that you know them well enough. And you probably need to take some more time. But like Lydia said, our hormones are going off, and it's like, boy, I really want to hit that. I wanted to hit Gaetano pretty quick, I think the first month. He has a sexy voice. What can I say? Yes. My brothers have sexy voices too, women. But I think anybody...
You're not trying to hit that, are you?
Huh? I'm not trying to hit my brothers. at least not in that context, you know, maybe with a frying pan or something. Not really. But, I just really do believe once you get to know more about the people. Mark talks about he has four best friends of different, of both genders. That didn't happen overnight. So,
no.
No, it did not, but it's also a real blessing, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
yes,
it is.
Brenda,
really
and
is.
Everyone,
I mean...
we have
oh,
a caller.
Yeah, I know who that is.
Hold.
So go ahead. And looks like he wants to be brought in, so let's go ahead and bring him in. Hello,
okay.
Ronnie. How are you doing, cuz?
Oh, good. I'm on the way to the airport, and the grandson, he's in the car.
Okay, well, you keep it clean.
Thank God for the grandson.
Okay, so can I assume that the show that it is almost done?
Well, actually, we're going a little bit over because we have some special guests on the air.
Okay, well, just called to say hi.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Ronnie.
Hello,
Ronnie.
So, hello, and just that you can just mute me.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
okay.
I love me some cuz.
You love you some what?
I love me some cuz.
There's an explanation there?
My
oh, wait,
Ronnie,
we may not be privy to the information.
I love me some cuz. I don't know that I need more explanation than that. That's for him. He called just to say hello and said, you can mute me, and I am accepting what he says, and I'm sending it back to him on a sensitive way. I
okay.
love me some cuz.
Okay. Yeah, I so appreciate all of you coming on the show. We still have time. But I just really appreciate you taking this time to call in. I did want to say something about the sensitive thing. I know people use that, you know, such and such is sensitive. So I think we're all sensitive, like Mark said. I had a friend who used to give the excuse when there was something going on. She would say, well, I'm sensitive. Like, who the hell are you? You think the rest of the world isn't sensitive? It's like, what, are you the one person on earth that's sensitive? So it's okay for you to be a creep? I mean, what, because you're sensitive? Who isn't? Is my response to when people say that. You know, I don't really like how we use that as if they're a more empathetic or caring person. And I don't think that those are male or female qualities. I think they're just human qualities.
I just think it's more of a, remember, we our society is fraught with excuses for a lot of different things. I did that because I was sensitive. I did that because I'm a hard butt. You know, we use a lot of different ways
to protect ourselves, because as you talk about trust, you can see that it's more mistrust than anything else. It's not that people don't trust each other. They're just skeptical, because some of the people that we put our trust into have either fallen miserably or used it against us. There's a lot of different ways, and I agree with you that, you know, sensitivity, like ignorance, for lack of a better term, everybody has a different kind of ignorance, and everybody has a different kind of sensitivity. I think we're all sensitive. We all carry that trait within us from the time we are born. And as we look forward to the things that empowers a sensitive conversation in a relationship, I mean, I think that's a good thing. I really do. It's just, it's very hard sometimes when you try to get people to understand what they don't see, what they can't see, what they refuse to see. The denial in our society is very great. People are, you know, I'm lactose intolerant. Well, that might be true. So for some people, it absolutely is true. But a lot more people use it as an excuse to stay away from milk, or I'm a vegan because I can't eat meat because I'm allergic to it. You know, our society, we build up a lot of different ways to protect ourselves. And when you do something to protect yourself, it closes off those doors that allow you to have those kind of sensitive conversations, those kinds of communications where trust is the end-all, be-all thing. You know, when somebody takes the opportunity to tell me something that they know or feel that I'm going to take badly, I always thank them for the opportunity of getting up the stones to tell me about it.
Yeah.
Because that's just as hard sometimes. But I thank them for telling me. Thank you for telling me. I know it was hard. I might have a natural reaction that you just, you know, wrecked my car. But at the same time, I'm very happy that you took the time to just tell me, Mark, I wrecked your car. Okay. All right. I have a natural reaction to it. Get over it, and we move on. You know, the same thing you do with friends. It's just amazing to me the amount of communication that goes on between best friends and how that communication never seems to manifest itself in a relationship, albeit Gaetano and Brenda's relationship. Because I think that's a rare thing. I think it's great. And the more we have relationships like that, I think that's great, too. And I think, Lydia, you had mentioned that, you know, you and your husband talk. If I got the names wrong, I apologize.
Yeah, well, I think both Nina and I have similar relationships with our husbands, but I might have said
yes, we sure do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, and I think that it's beautiful. I just think that's great. And, you know, like I said, when we get to the point where this particular conversation is a majority for most of the public involved, then we don't have that conversation. And that's what I look forward to, when you can have, just like racism, if we have to keep talking about racism, we haven't gotten past it yet. But the moment that we don't have to talk about it, like, this is my friend, then everything's great. Because this is my friend. What color is he? Nobody cares. That's my friend.
Thank you,
Lord.
God, I love
thank you.
I love my brother.
Yeah, David, I'm sorry.
I love your brothers, too. They are absolutely amazing. I agree. I'm waiting for that day, and I agree the analogy with racism. I think it is the same thing. And I think, you know, in some small way, us talking tonight and, you know, just even trying to define what we meant about the man cave, I think it is illuminating. And so when we do that, when we communicate these types of things, I think that it's a good thing. It helps both men and women, and you know, and I tell young women that you know, men are a little bit different. I mean, not all men. Some men are more like women, but you know, a lot of men, they have their own special ways, and I say vive la différence because I truly, I enjoy men. I love them very, very much and always have, and have had great male friends and have had my relationship with my husband for 29 years, and it's still going strong.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, can I throw a wrench in here?
Please.
Oh, okay. Honey, be yourself, baby.
The wrench is this. Okay, so we've talked about all this empowerment. You know, how have women done things to sort of disempower their relationship with you? Just, you know, can you think of a way or a couple of ways that they've done certain things that have just, you know, disempowered you in a way where it's like, yeah.
Brenda, when you talk about empowerment and disempowerment, and I've been reflecting on this as we talk through the show, in my experience, I am absolutely convinced we empower ourselves.
Okay.
It's not something we receive from somebody else. It may be that people assist in the process, but it's something I think that comes from within us. And again, it goes back to one of the first things I said in the show, that we've got to get to the point in our own lives, whatever point that is, 25, 30, 35, 40, where we know who we are, we know what we are, and we're comfortable with that, and then can act on it. I really do believe we empower or disempower ourselves. I'd like to hear reactions from other people on that.
I agree with you, Gaetano. Totally and completely agree with you. It's in each of us to empower ourselves. Giving our power away is that just that, us giving it away. We make the choice to either empower ourselves or not, and it comes from within, nobody else.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with you, because I think about it in terms of whenever somebody makes me mad or upset, whether it's customer service or, you know, a waiter at a restaurant, I always get mad at myself because I've allowed somebody to take away my power. It drives me crazy because there are people out there and they just drain you. They just drain you. It's what they do. So, I'm with you, Gaetano. I agree with you that it's something inside of, you know, you. The difference is this, real quick. The difference is between empowerment and disempowerment is one's a victim and one's making choices. And we know tons of people who empower themselves to be the victim. And when you're the victim, you don't get to make choices. And empowering allows you to make choices so you're not the victim. It doesn't mean that it's, you know, the 64,000 lottery choice. It just means you're empowered to make choices. And when you have that ability and you take that ability to make choices, it opens up a whole different world where you don't think you are weak or you don't think you have no choice. You're not the victim. And that's the one thing I would tell everybody in terms of empowerment is never think of yourself as the victim. You're empowered. Make choices. Make strong choices. It only serves to help you and those around you.
I agree. I think it also goes back to what Gaetano said, and that is knowing yourself. And I have a show on Saturdays that's called Time to Love, and I preach loving yourself. And I think when you know yourself, that's when you love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
David?
Mm-hmm.
You know, weigh in?
That sounds nice. It is nice. It's wonderful. It's sweet. At the same time, people have got to see examples of what that looks like. That also helps to that. Because one thing, as Mark said earlier, for those of us in this, whatever, a small group or whatever that have experienced it, but when, well, how did they ought to say it? He said, common sense is not common unless you teach it, then it becomes common. And so it's like I found out in my experience, that people have got to see examples of that also. And if they don't see no examples, they're going to keep doing, you know, the whole thing, they're going to keep doing. You all said it, just as the elder said this. People going to keep doing, if they don't see no example of no nothing, to even understand these victorious truths are out there, they're going to keep doing only what they know what to do.
Of course. Modeling, what you're talking about is sort of modeling after a good example. But from the empowerment point of view, I can even say from our family, we had some good examples and some negative examples as we were being raised. And most of us, whoever we are, have seen that with our parents or in our family paradigms. But just because our parents did things one way doesn't mean we're going to do it exactly that way. Some people follow what they see. Some people stand up and say, you know what, that's not going to be me.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to be my life. And they go the opposite direction. And I think that that comes from knowing yourself, or at least getting to know yourself and understanding who you are and choosing to be who you are, not what somebody else
exactly
decides you're going to be.
Yep.
So I think that's a brilliant example, David. But it doesn't mean we have to follow in the examples, whether they're good or bad. We always have that free choice that God tells us we have to make a different decision.
Okay. I'm going to stay on the typewriter. Okay, I'm going to respond to that.
Well,
I'm going to stay on the typewriter.
You do have to, you still have to understand some of that. I mean, when I used to go and do a civil rights show, and I would take it around to the East Coast and the Midwest, and I used to ask people all the time, I'm like, what can you learn from the Ku Klux Klan? And 90% of them would say nothing. I would never be like that. I said, well, you could learn how not to be. And it's a matter of understanding, because I believe, really, the common sense is in all of us. I mean, we choose to make bad choices. It's not that, you know, you don't know that, you know, firing a gun might kill somebody. You have to make a serious choice to do that. And so I believe that the common sense is in all of us. We all know the right things to do. Sometimes you don't even know how you know, but you know that's not right. But you choose to do something else. You can walk out the door and go, I'm going to forgive everybody today. And then the first person you run into, you're going to forget about forgiveness because they pissed you off. You know, it's very tough when you start talking about empowering something. But a lot of the traits that all of us have inside of us that are inherent in each of us, and I think common sense is one of those. We just choose not to use it all the time. I made bad choices when I did drugs and things like that. I mean, I knew it. I made that choice. It wasn't that I didn't know. It's that this is my choice because this is what I want to do. So I do agree with David. But at the same time, you know, a lot of the stuff that we see is there to do one thing, and that's to drain our power. That a lot of the things that we do is to take us away, make us depressed. And depression is a drainage of power. Feeling bad about yourself is a drainage of power. Melancholy is a drainage of power, especially if you let it go on forever. If it happens for an hour or a day, you just get over it and you start back fresh the next day, should you happen to wake up. So, you know, it's a very interesting thing, Brendan. I don't think you throw a wrench into it as much as you bring up the fact that somebody's perspective on how they look at empowering, on how they look at empowering themselves, their perspective allows them to grow, and their perspective also allows them to fail.
Yes, you are totally right.
And it goes, Mark, it also goes with what you were saying about being melancholy for an hour or depressed for an hour or a day or whatever, and then moving on. Obviously, that's normal. And hopefully you learn something from it. And don't just get depressed or melancholy. You pick something up out of it, and it helps you the next time around. That's part of growth.
Yeah, we're students for life. That's my thing. I'm a student for life. I'm learning.
I think all of us are.
No question.
Yeah, no question about it. We all are learning.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, I think we have to start wrapping this up, guys. I want to thank each of you for coming on the show and being so open with everyone. I'm sure you have helped a lot of people understand that what we all need to do in this world, and that's to be open and honest and talk. The more we talk, the more we learn, and we're always going to learn. Brenda, got anything more to say?
Well, maybe each person on the panel could just, you know, leave a closing word, before we do our wrap up.
Okay, David.
I'm gonna just leave it at that.
I've
got a lot of stuff on my head and heart, so I'm gonna just my brother Spirit, you got the mic.
All right, thank you, David. Mark.
No. Listen, just empower yourself. You know, it's the simplest way. Just don't let anybody take your power. It helps everyone. It helps everyone around you. Be yourself. Mm-hmm. It's the simplest thing you can do in this world, and it's also the easiest.
Yes, it is. Thank you. Very, very profound. Gaetano.
Yeah, I just want to thank the other participants, Mark, David, all of you, for the perspectives you brought and some of the things I learned this evening in listening to all of you. I agree with Mark. Be yourself. Know yourself. It's the most powerful thing you've got going for you. You know yourself. You guess what? You begin to know other people once you know yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's critical.
Thank you,
Gaetano.
That's
it.
Excellent.
Brenda? Well, I'm especially honored. I'm just so especially honored to hear all these things. David is such a writer, and I'm sure he's over there writing, you know, voracious information, which I love that about his scholarship. And Mark, I feel like you're almost talking straight out of my head, which you may not appreciate, I don't know, but I just, oh, man, I feel like I'm listening to another psychologist talk, and I love that. And Gaetano, I adore you more than anything in the world, and I could hit you in all numbers.
Yes, with a frying pan, yes, I know.
yeah, right, exactly.
So, I probably got the best out of everybody on this show. I'm actually almost overwhelmed that I get to see my brothers and my sweetie in such a great light. And I want to thank also Ralph for calling in and giving us his perspective of the man cave that, you know, is generally more accepted in society. And it, you know, really helped, you know, spin the conversation another way. And it was just great. I'm really appreciative of everyone, and I know that my sister's out there listening, and I know my cousin Ronnie and a few other people, Melody and Lennis, and anyone who's listening to the archives later, I just hope you're getting the incredible wealth that was provided here by these men who took their time out of their day to come and share with us. Thank you.
Lydia.
I just really want to thank these guys, and, Gaetano, you know, my heart often goes out to you. You are an amazing man to put up with Brenda for so long.
Yay.
But we love her. We love her in spite of herself, because this is a woman that is so honest, and I believe she does know herself. She teaches me every time we speak, every time I get to listen to her. But I am really honored to listen to the men in her life. You guys are awesome. Thank you.
Yes, you are awesome, and I, too, thank you. I know I've learned a lot, and I really do thank you. I'm going to quickly go through the run of the shows for the week, and then we're going to go into our meditation. Tomorrow is BYO Brilliance with Brenda, and it's the Brilliance of Volunteering, and that is at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard, Mount Daylight Time, sorry about that. In the studio with Lennis on Wednesday, she will have Hot Topics, and the News of the Wacky, I believe, and that's at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard. Thursday, Filmcology with Brenda, Baby Boom. Great movie. If you haven't seen it, please do. It's totally awesome. You'll laugh, you'll cry, and you'll probably get a little angry, and that is at 6 p.m. Friday, we have Friday Traffic Jams with Lennis, and that's at 5 p.m., an hour of music to get your weekend rolling. Saturday, Time to Love with Lydia. And, Lydia, you are interviewing a lady named Chrissy Vales. Now, what is she an
yes.
artist?
She is an artist.
Did you
She's
change?
Yes, I did change. But she's an artist and illustrator. She has illustrated a numerous amount of books. I haven't gotten the exact amount, but I would say it's definitely upwards past 30. She's illustrated wrapping
okay.
paper and all kinds of things. She's very interesting. I've known her since grade school, so we should have a good
okay.
interview.
All right, sounds good. And that's still at 2 p.m.?
Yes. Pacific time. Yep.
Okay. Okay. You have 3 p.m. on Facebook, but that's okay. And then next Monday, we are wrapping up our three-part series with Putting the Two Together, Romance. So we're going to talk a little bit about romance, whatever that means to you. And that's it. Now, any further things to say, ladies?
We don't have to do that show because Mark and the guys, David, and Donna already ferreted that out.
Okay, well,
well
we're going to go into meditation.
On this show.
Okay.
Well,
but we're
you're
going to go
all
into
welcome to come back, gentlemen, anytime. You know, anytime you're welcome to our shows. Hope you return. And you can, you know, slip off if you would like to, but we hope you will stay and listen to our meditation, which is about 4 minutes.
Now,
and we're going to get cut off, but here we go.
My voice.
Thank you, ladies, for having us on the show.
And the nature sounds.
Thank you.
To take you deeper. You are on a brilliant and loving journey. Speaking the words, I am that. I am. You are empowered to create the life of your highest good and joy. As you sleep each night, you see your dreams and aspirations. They safely meet you with joy and love. You happily accept and embrace them. Accept and see yourself healthy and healed, reflecting your chosen physical form. Accept and see yourself in your chosen financial position. See yourself accepting the goals you choose.
I'm just going to go override the meditation for a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. I hope you will tune in next week for the third part of this series. Om, have a good week.
and aspirations are completely in your control. Every day you awake.
Good night, folks.
Refreshed, energetic, and you accept the power to realize.